Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Truss, Billboard's co-director of charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at Billboard.
And we're welcoming with us JJ Ryan, program director of iHeartMedia Top 40 radio station KJYO in Oklahoma City, back on the podcast. It's our BTS sequel podcast. Welcome back, JJ.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
So we had you on recently because your station, KJYO, was really the only radio station in the U.S. playing BTS in any significant rotation recently. You guys played the song DNA, and big news this week for BTS on Billboard's charts. It breaks a record this week for the highest charting Billboard Hot 100 hit ever by a K-pop group. Debuts at number 28 this week, Mic Drop, featuring Designer, remixed by Steve Aoki. And that actually passes BTS's own record with DNA, which got to number 67 in October. And that was the song you guys were playing, JJ, on KJYO a little bit. Almost no stations were playing at all. You gave it some decent spins. But we're looking at the numbers this week, 53 plays for the last week on Mic Drop, which is pretty significant. So this is off to a better start already than DNA. So what did you think of the song when you first heard it? What made you add it and at such a good place count to get started?
Well, I became more familiar with the guys as time went on, just like, you know, a lot of non-BTS fans may have as we started playing the song. And so I started doing research on them as well and just became fans and was ahead a little bit in knowing that the song was actually coming out. So, once we knew that the remix was coming out, they got as you guys are probably aware, they're working with a U.S. label now. So there was actually a promotional plan for the song coming up. So I knew that this song, if any song, was going to have legs to being a hit and was going to have more airplay support behind it, which looking at the chart right now, there's a lot more stations playing BTS than there was when we were playing DNA, and a lot giving it a lot of substantial airplay too. So, and the song just, had more English that, we talked about during the last podcast that we did together that, really this could probably going to take a song with more English in it to kind of fit that mass appeal audience that doesn't know who BTS is or isn't a fan or doesn't know anything about K-pop. And this song definitely seems to be doing that. If you look at the sales data, the streaming, obviously the airplay data this week, it's definitely doing that.
Yeah, you guys are leading the way. We said 53 plays for the week, but there are other stations pretty significantly on Mic Drop so far. A couple of stations in San Diego are playing it 30 plus times. Other stations are jumping out, so it does feel different this time. I was wondering, you said last time your daughter was really pushing you to add DNA because she was such a fan. Did she even have to this time with Mic Drop? Or at this point, you don't even need her research at this point.
It's funny. No, I think I may have told her that the remix was coming before she knew. I can't remember how that ended up happening. I had heard the song before she heard it, and it had played it for her. I was lucky enough to hear it before it came out and was able to play it for her. And I remember her as a BTS fan, what really concerned me as a programmer was the BTS fans not embracing the song. She was like, oh, I don't want it to be in mostly English. That's not who they are. And she was almost in tears after she heard it. She's like, she loved it. So, you know, I like the fact as a, you know, as a programmer, and not just a dad, but just a, you know, programmer, that it's got a lot of English. It's catchy. The song has great energy. It's just, anytime I hear it, whether I'm in the car or in the studio, it just, it feels good. And it's up tempo, which is great this time of year. And it's got enough English to where you can actually catch on to it if you don't know anything about Korean, which I, you know, I know very little Spanish, and that's pretty much it outside of English. So it's been it's interesting watching this one, not only nationally but locally, and especially, as you guys know, these guys are all over TV right now. So it was a no-brainer for us to play it a lot because they were on Ellen, they were on Jimmy Kimmel, they were on James Corden, they were on, you know, the Billboard Music Awards. They had all these outlets to be in front of a mainstream audience that didn't know who they were, that there's a lot of people going, I need to look into this BTS. And if we're playing them, you know, it kind of makes it a little easier.
A watershed moment on the American Music Awards. It kind of felt like it was years in the making of K-pop leading up to this moment, the first huge appearance on national TV at an award show like that.
Exactly. And I can't remember who did it. It was either Ellen or Jimmy or James. One of them referenced them arriving at LAX kind of like the Beatles. And I remember thinking that same exact thing, but I never said it because I didn't want to feel really old by saying that. And it is. I mean, people are camping out. People are climbing like signs to watch them from like a block away during one of the performances. So it's exciting to watch. And as we talked about last time, you know, the passion from their fan base is like nothing I've ever seen before, you know, both on social media and, you know, in the market. I mean, people are still recording their radios anytime we play the song, which is still, I still think that is the coolest thing to see on Twitter anytime we play the song. It's, you know, it makes all the, you know, work that we do programming the station so worth it when you see somebody emotionally invested so much into what we're doing.
That's a good story for radio, because we've said a lot in the podcast how we see some of these viral hits, and you know, radio tends to sit back, play the hits a lot, and let the new music kind of build. So seems smart in this case, knowing the following of BTS online, to jump on something like this pretty early and see where it goes.
Yeah, and you know, look, we're treating this like we would any other new song. We're just kind of giving it a little bit more airplay at the beginning than we normally would, for the simple fact they had such a buzz on TV in the last couple of weeks. We wanted to take advantage of that, of course. And it also allows us to see locally how the song is going to react. You know, as you guys are pointing out, it was huge on the first week of the Billboard Hot 100. For us, week two and three are almost more important than week one, because we know the BTS fans bought the song already. So their purchases have been made. So now, how does it sell in week two and three? How does it Shazam? How does it stream? What is the reaction like going forward? And by exposing it as much as we are right now, it will hopefully allow us to get a better gauge of that quicker than it would if we were only playing it 20 to 30 times a week.
And one thing kind of about the demographics, we were talking a little bit earlier today in-house about the age group of the fans. Have you found any sort of strong group, whether it's preteens, is it more adults? I mean, who do you think is this core BTS fan base? And if it is young people, then like Gary was saying, that might be a great thing for radio going forward, that, you know, young people are having reasons to keep tuning in and not just listen to their own stuff.
I think it's definitely, and this is me guessing, you know, because I don't have local research on it, but based on what I'm seeing on Twitter, it's definitely a younger demographic. I would say probably 13 to 25 is really kind of driving it, probably more around the 13 to 20, 21 range. But there are adults too, and we get, you know, social media comments or messages from parents who are also BTS fans. In fact, I know my wife knows like their names now. Like she's getting in, you know, kind of invested in it because of our daughter. So, you know, I think the fan base is broadening, but I think that core fan base, at least from what I've been able to tell, that those that are interacting with us and listening to us, it's definitely that preteen, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. As you know, Top 40 has always kind of been that format that, you know, obviously a ton of adults listen, but, you know, the 16, 17-year-old in a year or two becomes the 18, 19-year-old, which counts in the ratings. And, you know, if you can capture them young, you'll have them for life. And that's important to Top 40, and that's what we hope happens here.
And you mentioned you don't know any Korean, you know a little bit of Spanish. A perfect segue to kind of what we said last time. It's becoming less and less of any kind of a barrier for a song not to be in English to still be a hit after Despacito and some of the other Latin hits we've seen cross over. This is at this point, it's kind of more. Here's another one.
Yeah, it's all about. I think it's all about feeling, and you know, this song just is fun. I mean, you'll catch yourself just kind of. And I have no rhythm whatsoever, by the way, but. You know, you'll just catch yourself kind of dancing every now and then to it just because it's just a fun song. Even if there was no words there, it's fun and it sounds like everything else you're playing. And it's got just enough, you know, words in it that are in English, especially Designer's part in the beginning, kind of helping, you know, kind of bridge that gap. Because obviously that's entirely in English. But yeah, as long as you have it's kind of funny. As long as you have just a few English words that are in the chorus of the song, you're pretty much good. And Despacito is a perfect example of that. I mean, I think, you know, could probably sing you most of that song. But anytime that part comes on, I know the words. Yeah. And I think that's what, you know, kind of made that song as big as it was. Obviously, more than just that one word and how it was sung. But, you know, it's just that formula. And I think this song, DNA was a great song. But this song having English in it is definitely going to help.
Despacito is almost an honorary English word at this point. It's just everyone knows it.
It is. If you say that word to anyone, even if they don't know Spanish, they're like, oh, yeah, that song that I got sick of because I heard it all summer long, you know?
One more thing, I guess, off that Despacito effect that we saw so often this year, maybe heading into 2018, any other K-pop groups on the radar who may be able to use sort of the same superstar guest hybrid formula to make their entryway into the U.S. I mean, you know, where there's McDonald's, there's a Burger King, a Jack in the Box, a Wendy's. I'm sure people will be paying attention to that. But any other groups you know about who, you know, have the potential to make it big in the U.S.?
You know, I've heard some of their names. I'll be honest, I haven't heard a lot of their music. One thing that would be, you know, one thing that's going to tell us, I think, how that goes is how these guys do. They're almost kind of the guinea pig for, you know, I'm sure a lot of the other artists that, you know, are K-pop and their labels, I'm sure, are certainly watching how they're going to do. You know, they've got a U.S. label partner over here, so they've got the promotional support to get the word out about the song. Whereas, you know, Big Hit wasn't working DNA in the U.S., but now that you've got Sony Red kind of helping on that front over here, it's definitely going to help, and we're going to see more stations play the song. We already are. I think how this song does or maybe the next song will kind of be determine, hey, do we want to try to go into the U.S. or do we not? I think with any song, not just K-pop, though, anytime you can put a feature in a song from an artist that's known, it's going to help. The good thing about Top 40 is it's never been a format that you need to be a known artist to have a hit. You know, there's songs on the chart right now from people who have never had songs on Top 40 before. Some that have crossed over from alternative, some who have come, from another country. You know, Portugal the Man was one of the biggest songs on alternative this past year, but it also was a monster Top 40 song. They had never had a song on Top 40 before. So as a more mainstream example. So I think there's room for other K-pop, you know, acts to come over. It's just going to come down to the song and who's on it. And that at the end of the day is really what it's about for, you know, any artist. It's all about the song. You can be the biggest pop star in the world, but if you don't have a good song, it's not going to do as well. You can have a no-name artist have a really great song and it could be number one. And, you know, you guys at Billboard have seen that, you know, it doesn't need to be an established artist to hit number one. It's people consume music. And it doesn't matter who it's from as long as they can connect with it and like it.
Well, Oklahoma City continues to be the hub of K-pop at U.S. radio.
So weird to hear that. I never. but yeah, you know, it's cool, and we hope, you know, obviously they you know, now that they've got a U.S. partner, we're really hoping they come over to the States and do some stuff, and we'll see them in a lot of different markets. But you know, there's a lot of stations out there that are playing these guys and playing them a lot. You know, I was looking at stuff today and. You know, from Chattanooga to Honolulu, San Diego, which I think you mentioned earlier. You've got, I think, Tampa, Florida is also in the mix now. There's so many stations outside of the small group that it was at the beginning, you know, like San Francisco and us and, you know, a few of the others I mentioned. To see this laundry list of stations now supporting them is kind of cool. Although at the same time, I'm like, man, I remember the day when we were the only ones playing them. It was kind of cool, and now everyone else is, but. I'm happy for him, and it'd be awesome to see them explode over here and be, you know, a name that everyone knows. And the song is obviously, as you guys are seeing right now, it's week one was incredible. I can't wait to see what week two does.
Well, you've set the trend at radio, JJ, so we wanted to have you back and talk about the new one. So, as always, appreciate your insights, and good luck going forward with playing this new song, seeing where it goes for you and listeners, and should be a good song to have in rotation for the holiday season.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Trevor. The phone leads up, sir.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.